to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, folks, I hope you buckled in real tight. I don't know if you can handle another hour of the show tonight, but listen, you pay for three, you're going to get three. You know, like any good performing artist, we're here for we're here for the full show. 3 hours. It's almost more than even we can handle, Eddie, but, you know, we're going to do it. We're on the schedule for three. We're going to give you three. Third and final hour of the Political Cesspool Radio Program, now here before you. Welcome back to the show. James Edwards, Eddie the Bombardier Miller by my side. And we're coming to you live tonight from downtown Memphis, Tennessee. Saturday, August 13th. Where is this year going? It's almost fall now. They always do move by so fast. I am ready for fall. 116 degrees heat index last week. Fourth hottest day in the history of Memphis. 106 degrees Fahrenheit. 116 with the heat index. It felt like hell, literally. Even inside with the air conditioning. I don't see how they did it before air conditioning. I don't see how humanity evolved to live long enough to invent air conditioning. I don't see how we survived it. I'm just so glad the blacks invented air conditioning so we could enjoy it. And then he said, but listen, welcome back, everybody. And we're back. And we're everywhere. We're across the country on all these AM affiliate stations. Thank you so much for carrying us. If you're one of our affiliates, listen, we love you. If you're one of our listeners, we love you even more. And we've got a lot to talk about this hour, so I'm not going to waste time. You know, if you're listening to us, you know how we're listening to us. Why do I even repeat that three times a show? At the top of each hour, I say, you're listening to us on 13A. You're listening to us on the internet. If they're tuned in, they know how they're listening. So I guess I'm just doing it to show how prominent we are. I don't know. Maybe that is a little bit cosmetic. Maybe they're blind and they're just, somebody's tuned in for them. I don't know. Winston's deaf, so it could happen. I guess Winston, we got to get the show in Braille. That's for blind people. I don't know how, Winston can't listen. There's no way. There's no way I can get it. We'd have to get it text transcribed to Winston. Well, Winston's a co-host and he can't even hear the own show. But he's going to get it back. He's going to get, implants. He'll be back with us soon.
His writing has really evolved.
His writing, you say if you lose a sense, another one becomes even stronger. Winston's writing abilities have increased since he's lost his hearing. So, if I went blind, I could hear Eddie's comments much more clearly. We're going to have to cut off one of our, listen, it's worked for Winston. Anyway, welcome back to the show, everybody. Talking in the last segment, I'm going to make this real quick. Talking in the last segment about the loss of the U.S. space program, that was at the end of the second hour. Thank God we got ideas like this. Let's not forget the forgotten space program from Zambia. That's in Africa, if you don't know. And if you went to a public school recently, in the last 40 years, you probably haven't heard of Zambia because you don't learn anything. You don't learn geography. You don't learn anything. You learn to worship Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass, but you probably don't know much about the continents or anything like that. But Zambia is in Africa. The United States space program's kaput now, as we established. So, maybe we can start emulating what they were trying to do in Africa in the 1960s, which is around the time that the American space program reached its zenith. On October 30th, 1964, Time magazine reported the celebration of the independence of Zambia, formerly Northern Rhodesia, with its new president, Kenneth Kaunda. But as the jubilant crowds celebrated, one man complained that the festivities were interfering with his space program. Edward Makula Nkloso informed the Time reporter that his Zambian astronauts would beat both the United States and the Soviet Union in the space race by going to the moon and then to Mars before they could. Wow. Now, this was an unusual boast. Eddie may be learning this for the first time, but this is what the political cesspool does. It informs and educates. This was an unusual boast, to say the least. At the time, Zambia's population numbered 3.6 million, with barely 1,500 African-born high school graduates and less than 100 college graduates. Nkloso himself was a grade school science teacher. He was the head of their space program, Ed, and self-appointed director of the country's National Academy of Science, Space Research, and Philosophy. They were philosophers as well. Not bad at all for a grade school graduate. But he had big dreams, namely using a catapult-inspired firing system to send a 10x6 aluminum and copper rocket holding 10 Zambians, a 17-year-old girl, and her cat to Mars. He figured he could get them to the moon by 1965. All he needed was $700 million from UNESCO to fund the project. In the newspaper editorial, Nicoloso claimed to have studied Mars for some time from telescopes at his secret headquarters outside Lusaka and announced that the planet was populated by primitive natives. See, Americans didn't even know that Mars was populated by primitive natives, but they knew that in Africa in the 1960s. He graciously added that his missionaries would not force the native Martians to convert to Christianity, but they could if they wanted to. In fact, he said, he could have achieved the conquest of Mars in a mere few days after Zambia's independence had UNESCO come through with the $700 million worth of funding. He also called for the detention of Russian and American spies who were trying to steal his space secrets and his cats. Now, this is a story that appeared in Time magazine, folks. We're not making this up. It's hard not to like the guy, though, based on what little we know of him today. He's a grade school science teacher setting up his own national space program with a small group of trainees who had to, this is how they trained, Eddie, they had to roll downhill in a 44-gallon oil drum as part of the plan to simulate the sensation of rushing through space. Zero gravity, you ask? They simulated that in Zambia by having to swing on a rope, and then once they got up to the top of their swing, the rope would be cut, so they would enter into a free fall, and that would simulate zero gravity. They also were taught, the astronauts in the Zambian space program were taught to walk on their hands because that's the only way that humans can walk on the moon, as we know.
that guy was a genius. I'm
telling you. In light of all right, but here's the thing. Here was the one problem. This is what really kind of put the kibosh on the Zambian space program. You know, in addition to them not getting the $700 million from UNESCO, it never got off the ground because their astronauts were all volunteers, and as the Nicoloso, who was the he was the National Space Director, he said that they won't concentrate on learning about space flight because they're too busy making love when they should be studying the moon. And then, you know, the one 17-year-old girl who was the astronaut, she became pregnant and her parents brought her back to the village. So that ended the Zambia space program. But don't worry. Don't worry, Eddie, because now that the American space program can't continue because we're too busy giving away, you know, all that money to welfare, we can emulate the Zambian tactics. It has a chance. You know, we can bring it back here. It's cheaper, and we can bring it back here. We're going to do that here in America, and we're going to get to Mars just like the Africans would have. Now that all of our money is being diverted to welfare, we're going to, you know, implement the Zambian program, and we're going to get there. And listen, that's strange but true. That's a true story, folks. That is where America's headed. We got to take a break. Stay tuned.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Folks, I'm having an epiphany. That's a tough word. Epiphany. You want to know when my long, ill-fated, broken road of political activism first got started? 1999. I remember it plain as day. I remember it when I got bought off. Yes, No. Listen, 1999. Oh, I can remember it. It's coming to me now. I wasn't even going to share this. It didn't even occur to me until right as we were coming out of that commercial break. I was sitting at my aunt and uncle's house. It was my cousin's birthday in 1999. This very weekend in 1999, I might add. I was watching the Iowa Straw Poll. The Iowa Straw Poll was just held today, this year's incarnation of it. I was watching the Iowa Straw Poll in 1999, this very week in 1999. I saw Pat Buchanan give a speech. He was still in the Republican Party at that time. And I said, you know what? If that guy's campaign goes anywhere, I'm going to volunteer and I'm going to be a part of it. I remember it plain as day, Eddie. I remember exactly what room of the house I was in my aunt and uncle's house. I was there for my cousin's birthday. 1999, I heard Pat's speech and I said, that's the guy I'm going to support. As fate would have it, Pat would leave the Republican Party the very next year, join the Reform Party. I signed up, was a big part of his campaign here in Tennessee. I was the treasurer of his campaign here in Tennessee. I was a Reform Party delegate to the national convention out there in Long Beach, California. That's how I got my start in politics. It was in the Buchanan campaign. After that campaign ended, I ran for office myself in 2002. After that ended, you know, the radio program started in 2004, but it all started this weekend in 1999 when I watched Pat Buchanan give his speech at the Iowa Straw Poll. Fast forward, you know, 12 years later, here we are again, the Iowa Straw Poll. I'm 7 years into my run as host of the Political Cesspool Radio program. My, how time flies and how much it changes you. I can go back to that day clear as day. And now, you know, so much has happened. My God, so much has happened. But the Iowa Straw Poll happened today, Eddie. And Michelle Bachmann wins it, the Zionist Republican from Minnesota. Of course, I guess she wins it because her state borders Iowa. Ron Paul from Texas came in second place. He lost by 200 votes, less than 200 votes. He lost by less than 200 votes. The third nearest competitor was Minnesota's own governor, Tim Pawlenty. He trailed Paul by nearly 2,000 votes. So Michelle Bachmann wins the Iowa Straw Poll. I know you had some things to say about that, Eddie.
Well, I got something. This is a little off. Well, this is on topic. I'm going to tell you something about what I did at your house one time before I even knew you and knew you lived there. I was handing out pamphlets, leaflets, and I do believe for Pat Buchanan, because I came by your house. Your mother came through the door. I gave her some pamphlets. I started telling her.
Yeah, and just so people know, I was only when I was in 1999. That was my 18th and 19th year of life. So I was still living at home in 1999. So my mother would have perhaps come to the door if Eddie knocked on it in 99.
Yeah. I asked for you, but she said that you were grounded. Well, let me that really happened. I was handing out, you know, I've been politically active since I was about 11 years old, I guess, ever since. Well, actually before the Birmingham riots. But folks, let me tell you about Michelle Bachmann. You know, when she was a kid right out of high school, she went to Israel. And by the way, she is an Israel firster, an American come what may. She went over there and she went, you know, stayed with a kibbutz for a while. And she just fell in love with Israel. She's still in love with Israel. You can, you know, read any of her writings, she'll tell you. And she was shocked, she said, at the height of security they have over there. You know, she's totally against any security on our borders here. But, yeah, she is in the pocket of AIPAC, just like all the rest of them, except for Ron Paul. And James, I was getting ready to ask you this question on break, and we decided we'd hold it to the show. Folks, if anybody can figure this out, email in or something, let me know. How is it that a so-called fundamentalist Baptist church in the South will not even let a woman even near the pulpit? You know, women can't be preachers. They can't be leaders in the church.
Right.
That's right. Well, that's right. But they can't lead. They're not qualified to lead a church with maybe 200 members in the membership. But the same people that dog women day and night will vote for, you know, Sarah Palin was their golden girl for a while. Now it looks like Michelle Bachmann is going to be. It makes no sense to me. Like I was telling James, George Orwell would call that doublethink. Doublethink is the ability to hold two ideas in your head that are mutually exclusive. You know, they make no sense. At the same time, for instance, like an example would be if it's raining outside, it's not raining. If it's raining outside, if it's pouring down raining, it's dry. You know, they hold that in their mind. How can someone believe that a woman's not qualified to lead a 200 little measly 200 membership church, but they can lead the country?
So I guess you're saying, in other words, a lot of people at your church like Michelle Bachmann.
Oh, yeah.
No, or Sarah Palin.
No doubt. It seems like any woman that runs on a Republican ticket, they'll vote for them. And you know what, James? I really have no hope for this country turning around, because if you can't get people that are supposed to be educated in a Southern Baptist church like that to wake up and see reality, if you know, there's just no hope. These same people I'm talking about, they're like Bachmann. They worship Israel. They absolutely, by God, worship Israel. You know, they'll even, a lot of them say, probably a majority of them say that a Jew doesn't even have to be a Christian to get into heaven. But I'll tell you a little bit of something about, we're talking about Rick Perry and Congressman Ron Paul there at the break. Rick Perry, let me tell you what he's done. In the state of Texas, he has a, he helped fight against the, you know, the state of Texas, the legislature there voted like 99%, it's almost 100% slam dunk vote to pass a law making it a felony for the TSA goons to search people and to pat them down, you know, sexual wise. Well, Rick Perry and his lieutenant governor, I can't remember the name of the lieutenant governor, but they came in there and with some federal goons into the state legislature of Texas, which is against the law in Texas, and they threatened the state congress, the Texas state congress. They said, if you come in here and you stop our TSA goons from fondling women, you know, forcibly removing their bras, taking grandma's diapers off, we're going to shut this. We're going to make you the Texas. This is God's truth. They're going to make Texas a no-fly zone. This is your Governor Rick Perry, who's the arch conservative. This is, I'll say, here's something else Governor Perry's done. Governor Perry is in bed with this Spanish outfit from Spain. This isn't the gracious Spaniards on our southern border. My pastor always talks about this. This is for sure Spain. I think the name of the company is Sensa. Can't swear to it, but it's a company out of Spain who's, Rick Perry was been instrumental in signing over the deeds to millions of acres of land in Texas to bring through the Texas Trans-Texas Highway, coming out from, going to run from Mexico through the United States into Canada. All right, well, Rick Perry has stabbed the people in the state of Texas and the United States for going on to that, signing on to that wagon. And as you know, truck drivers coming out of Texas will be totally immune to our laws, and they, you know, the trucks in Texas, I know you'll be shocked at this, but they don't have to pass as rigid as inspections of criteria to run, of safety criteria before they can run, go on the road. You know, for instance, no brakes, things like that. A Mexican hit me about this time last year, hit me and my grandson. He told me it was not his fault, Jay, because he didn't have any brakes. He knew this. I mean, that's a God's truth. That's kind of like that.
Did he go to your church?
Yep. I wouldn't be surprised. Now, he was a gracious Spaniard, and he thought it was real funny. Well, folks, we're getting ready to come on a break, but we'll start bits of back when we come back, and we'll talk about Ron Paul a little bit.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're gonna take over the network. We're going to go for 6 hours tonight. All right, and that's what we're going to do, because we're not going to ever get this in 3 hours. Well, I wish we could do that, but we can't. But we do have 30 minutes left tonight, and we're going to take a break, and we're going to bring you that final 30 minutes right after this. Stay tuned, everybody.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the Political Cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out
of this place. If it's the last thing. Back on our commentary about the results from the Iowa straw poll today. But first, we're going to get to a caller who has patiently been waiting for a few minutes on the line. Jeff from Massachusetts. Jeff, you're back with us in the Political Cesspool. What can we do for you, my friend?
Oh, thank you very much. Now, as far as where America's heading towards, with the English riots and America falling apart at the seams, you know where I see America eventually heading towards? A takeover by Russia, China, Saudi Arabia will take over this country and use the blacks and the Hispanics as a wedge to bring down this country, fund them directly, and have a racial civil war in this country, and then smoosh this country with manpower and weapons, and then put the white people and Jewish people on ships and send them as slave labor to various countries to be used as slaves, and anybody else in the country who doesn't want to submit will join the white people and the Jewish people as slaves. That's the end game.
That's a pretty interesting hypothesis. I hope that doesn't happen. Hopefully people like us will be able to do something before that comes about.
Oh, I hope so, too. But you see, we have a Muslim in the White House, Barack Hussein Obama, and that's going to be the end game, a bloody civil war. Massachusetts, my area, is already gone. We'll be used as the beachhead for this. And you'll see UN troops marching through the streets. I mean, look, Boston just had a military exercise. Always watch out when a city has military exercises, because it could go live. And this English riot, England is the coal canary for what's going to happen here in this country, and we're not ready for it as a country. But anyways, I thank you for having me on the broadcast, and have a good night.
Hey, it's always good to hear from you. Thanks for calling. You know, Eddie, we got callers everywhere, even in Massachusetts, you know. That's not political cesspool country up there, but we got some holdouts. We've got some faithful. We got a faithful remnant. You know, our heartland is here in the South. Our heart beats Dixie, you know, Stonewall Jackson, Robert E. Lee, Nathan Bedford Forrest all the way. But we got good people like Jeff up in Massachusetts, and they're listening to us, and they're calling in and sharing their thoughts. Now, back to the Iowa straw poll. So Michelle Bachmann wins it by a couple of hundred votes over Ron Paul, who was a couple of thousand votes over his nearest competitor. He came in a close second. Michelle Bachmann, let me tell you a couple of things about her really, really quick. She loves Israel a lot. And did I say a lot? I mean, she really loves Israel. She knows where her bread is buttered. At a Republican Jewish coalition event in Los Angeles earlier this year, Representative Michelle Bachmann offered a candid view of her positions on Israel. And it was this: support for Israel is handed down by God Almighty. And if the United States pulls back its support, America will cease to exist. So far, it looks like the best that the Republican Party can come up with to oppose Obama is Mitt Romney and the empty-headed Israel-worshipping Michelle Bachmann. Listen, what I told you, what she just said, basically what she just said is that if we, withdraw our foreign aid to Israel, America will cease to exist. That's one of the most sensible comments that she's given. That's one of the more sensible comments, Eddie, that she's given. They get a lot worse than that. She says, for instance, "I am honored to be in a position where I can help Israel. I have a tremendous love for Israel and a great admiration for the Israeli people. I am a Christian, but I consider my heritage Jewish because it is the foundation." I mean, what is she talking about? Listen, we're gonna play a game right now, Eddie, in honor of Michelle Bachmann. I don't know what this is all about. I'm a Christian. I don't want to see any harm come to Israel or to anybody. But listen, I don't want a foreign aid. You know, I don't want to mortgage my country on behalf of anybody other than Americans. You know, I don't want to send billions of foreign aid to Israel, and in return, all we get is them, you know, perverting our institutions. I don't want that. I don't want any harm to happen to them. I'm not on any side. I'm on the American side. All right, so I don't understand all of this Zionist, you know, Israeli worship that Michelle Bachmann is doing. But what we're going to do, we're going to play Fast Fingers tonight in honor of Michelle Bachmann. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here's how we're going to play Fast Fingers. Everybody listening, pay attention. The first caller who dials in to our show tonight at 1-866-986-NEWS. The first caller, 1-866-986-NEWS, wins David Duke, an autographed book of David Duke's Jewish Supremacism. In honor of Michelle Bachmann, we're going to give you an autographed copy of David Duke's Jewish Supremacism to the first caller tonight at 1-866-986-NEWS. When you call in, give your name and address to our board operator, and she'll take it down, and we'll mail you the book. That's what we're going to do in honor of Michelle Bachmann tonight, Eddie.
I have two copies of that given me by the Dukester himself, and autographed by the Dukester himself. And James says, I have two copies. I'll donate one of my copies, and, of course, I'll sign it, and I'll get you to sign it. The cesspool members can all sign it. Well, let me ask you this, James. I'm going to bring up something we brought up the last show. Everybody knows that we have been sending billions and billions. Probably it's up into trillions now since 1948, since Israel became an illegal state. And I said, I'm going to say the same thing I said last week. Where are all these blessings that were promised in the Old Testament that he who blesses Israel, I will bless, so says God? Where are the blessings? I mean, this country is in the worst shape it's been in ever. I mean, we're really in worse economic shape than we were in the war against the Brits in 1776, 1789. We're in worse shape probably than in Lincoln's war. We have never been, this country has never been bankrupt like it is now. We've never had the highest, as high unemployment. We've never been just totally swamped with illegals that hate our guts and are promising to take our country over. So I'm just keep looking, where the hell are these blessings? Should we send them more triple? Should we make the tax rate on American working people 100% so we can send it to Israel? Maybe that will bring more blessings in. Maybe we hadn't primed the pump enough.
I tell you, Michelle Bachmann was blessed because she won the Iowa straw poll. If the fix was not in, now, do you think the fix was in over to, Ron Paul?
I believe it was the fix was in. I'm going to tell you something else, people. Any of these candidates, you know what, I don't see how anybody can be so stupid as to keep voting for the same old thing over and over and over. I know it's an old cliche that says, insanity is doing the same thing over and over expecting different results. Have you heard any of these candidates, except Ron Paul? And listen to me. I know Ron Paul is far from perfect. He is not really pro-sodomite, but Ron Paul, he has no objections to, sodomites, to men being sodomites. That's true. He's not really big on Christianity. As James pointed out, he's not really a big pro-white, a pale conservative white person, even though he's white. But here's where he's got it over every candidate I know so far. He is the only candidate that's talking about overhauling the money system. He wants to go to a fair, an honest money system. He wants to do away with the Federal Reserve system. He wants to bring our people home from all these endless, numberless foreign wars, bring the soldiers home to United States soil. He's the only candidate that I'm aware of that says we need to do, he's on record saying, we need to get rid of foreign aid, even to Israel. I guess maybe the Congressman Ron Paul doesn't. Maybe he's looking for the blessings too. Maybe he's given up on giving, some of these blessings coming back in return for all the countless billions of money dollars we sent to Israel. I've given up on it. But he wants to close the Mexican border, for God's sakes. He wants to get us out of the NAFTA. He wants to get us out of GATT, the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trades. He wants to get us out of this FTAA with Mexico, and he wants to go. He's strictly constitutional. He is constitutional all the way. Matter of fact, when he was arguing with this, was it Mitt Romney? Santorum, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum said that, in other words, I'll paraphrase him as close as I can. When Ron Paul was talking about the Constitution and, Nick Santorum said Christian morality took, it trumps the 10th Amendment. Well, it doesn't. I'd like to say whose moral authority, define Christian moral authority. Rick Santorum's Christian moral authority isn't mine, James. It isn't, giving everything away to Israel, giving, and the rest of it, what's left over, what few crumbs are over, to give away to the illegal aliens, the illegal alien invaders and to the blacks. And Ron Paul rebuffed him on that. He said that the 10th Amendment trumps more so-called Christian morality. But yeah, he is the only one. Now, this is one thing James pointed out. We're getting ready to go to a break, folks, but I'm going to say one last thing. There is one thing that Rick Perry is on the, what, ADL hate watch, James?
Well, he's on the SPLC hate watch list. Rick Perry is the governor of Texas because he supports the American Family Association, which is a hate group, because they say that homosexual marriage isn't legit, which God forbid, We got to take a break. We'll be back to wrap up the show. We gotta get out of this place.
There's a better life for me. If I didn't tell her, I didn't. Welcome back
To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right. Last segment. It goes by too fast, Eddie. It goes by way too fast. I could go another 12, 18 hours. I tell you that. I could go 18 hours tonight. No problem. Just keep bringing me the coffee, baby. You know, I'll keep going. I'll keep percolating as long as you keep brewing it. Yeah, right. All right. Last segment of the show tonight. Looks like we have a winner of the autographed copy. Yeah, it was Eddie. No, we have a caller. I believe it was Frank from Pennsylvania. Frank from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania tonight won the autographed copy of Jewish Supremacism that Michelle Bachman's giving away tonight on the show. That's what we need to do. Yes, we do. All right, but anyway, congratulations to Frank, who won our free giveaway tonight of the Dr. David Duke PhD book. And a representative, David Duke, PhD, that's his official title, I guess, because he was in the the Louisiana State House. He should have been in the U.S. House. And governor, that's right. But you sure did, Eddie. Okay, so congratulations to Frank from Pittsburgh for winning the book tonight, the giveaway. Eddie, I'm going to do something very dangerous now. I'm going to turn the microphone over to Eddie without knowing in advance what he's going to say. Eddie, make it quick because I got to ask you another question.
Folks, have you been saved? No, here's what I want to say, folks. Listen, I'm going to make a quick comment, James, about the recent Milwaukee riots, probably still going on, in the riots in London and riots elsewhere. I know you're going to be shocked, but I think it's a damn good thing that's going on. I really do. You know, I went through this crap when I was a kid, and that's how I got my epiphany about what blacks really are when they're in a mob. You know, the people in England, like sheep, have allowed themselves to be totally disarmed years ago. They've turned in their guns. Do you know they can't even get a baseball bat? Baseball bats were the number one selling item the past couple of weeks during this riot. And now that the government's even in the businesses in cooperation with the government have cut their baseball bats sales off. But we have all these bleeding heart liberals, you know, just gnashing, wailing and gnashing of teeth and, you know, wringing of hands, worrying about the blacks all the time. And, you know, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that's right. That's pretty daggum liberal. That's liberal territory. Which people are getting a dose of it now. And it's common knowledge that these big riots have been mobs, you know, hundreds of blacks hunting white people down and beating them to a pulp, put them in the emergency room. God knows how many of them have been killed, setting their houses on fire. Folks, if this will wake the white race up, James, if it will wake them up, it's going to do, it can do good in a time. You know, it can wake people up. Like one of the guys I really admire, Sam Dixon in the CFCC, friend of James's, he said that Americans are not going to wake up to this racial reality until things get a lot worse. And he says, and this, I love this quote, I've used it many times, let the bad times roll, baby. And that's what I say. Let it. I don't care how. I don't care. I hope it gets so bad a white person can't even stick their nose out the door without some black busting them in the face with a baseball bat. Then, and only then, of these litty white, spineless jellyfish, effeminate men, especially in the South, then only then are they going to wake up. When the mobs, with just mobs of angry blacks, are going through Germantown here in Memphis, Tennessee, are going through Beverly Hills in California, are going through Long Island in New York, Martha's Vineyard up there, wherever the hell that is, and just beating the crap out of white people just because they're white. That's what it's going to take to wake them up. So let them do it, baby.
Well, as Sam said and as Eddie repeated, let the bad times roll. You know, we don't want anyone to have to learn from the school of hard knocks, but sometimes that's what it takes. And obviously, we always have to put the disclaimer, and it is true, not all blacks are part of that. But an unfortunate, disproportionate percentage of their population is. And as other people have said on this show before, until they can get a leash on those who are going out and representing their ethnic group, that's what they're going to be known as. And, you know, certainly we don't advocate, condone, or look forward to any violence. But, you know, sometimes, you know, as a kid, as we once learned, you know, sometimes a verbal lesson takes, sometimes it takes a whooping. And sometimes we have to, sometimes we have to get that corporal punishment before we wake up to the reality of what's being taught. Eddie, I'm sure listeners want to know if you went to church last week. You know, every week, Eddie. Why not?
I'll tell you.
Real quick, because we got to get Peter Scoop Stanton on. He's called in. We got to get the scoop. You know Scoop.
Oh, yeah.
Now, tell me why you're not going to church tomorrow. Inquiring minds want to know. This is a Christian show.
I'm going to Sunday school, but I'm not going to church because my minister is going to show a video clip of the Gracious Spaniard Sunday School right before he starts his sermon. So I'm going to make sure I'm...
Now, what if you did go and watch that? What would happen?
I couldn't do it. He would expect me to watch it, for sure. But I would probably have to go and vomit for watching that crap. So in protest, I'll be the only one, James. After Sunday School tomorrow, I'm going to go over to the church from my Sunday School. Sunday School is totally separate from the church building. And I'm going to make a scene and let them see me walking out. And one last thing, people, this is quick. I'll make this real quick. I do not hate white black people. I saw a wonderful black person just the other day at some drugstore over off of here in Memphis, and she helped me. She was very, very helpful with getting my photos developed and everything at one other time. And I have black friends where my daughter works. I've had a lot of black friends. But even the Reverend, what's his name, Pete Peterson? The black Reverend? Pete Peters? Jesse Lee Peters, the black reverend. He says, not all. And this is what, and I agree with it. I agree with Jesse Lee. He says himself, he's black as an ace of spades. Not all, but most blacks are racist. Not all, but the vast majority of black preachers are racist. And now let's turn it over to Scoop.
Well, you know, and I appeared on CNN with Jesse Lee Peterson, and he was on my side of the table. You know, we were going against that other two. If you haven't seen that yet, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. No, Jesse Lee Peterson's great, and he actually airs here on 1380 alongside with us.
I spoke to him.
We got 3 minutes left. We got to get to Scoop. Scoop, I'm sorry, man. You know, I can't shut Eddie up sometime. You know how it is. Are you still there, Scoop?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me, gentlemen?
I can hear you fine. What can we do for you for 3 minutes, sir? It's all yours.
Recently I went back to the scene of the crime in South Philadelphia at Geno's Steaks.
That's right. Geno made news back in 05, 06, you know, because he had the speak English when you order sign.
Right. So I'll make this quick. I went to Geno's because I was hungry. I went. I was up in North Jersey trying to handle some business. And I was hungry. I said, all right, let me get one sandwich, and if I'm real hungry, I'll get another one. I swear to God, I ate that sandwich so fast, I got a stomachache.
I believe you, buddy.
Geno's has improved because now there's a bumper sticker besides the older one order in English. It says, press one for English, press two for deportation.
Oh, no kidding. So they're getting more and more outspoken.
Right, and then he had shoving this delicious sandwich in my face, there was a printout from a computer about what happens to people over in other countries when they immigrate illegally. They get shot, they get jailed as spies, and not very nice. Then it has a readout of what happens when you come to America as a legal alien. You get jobs, Social Security, welfare, driver's licenses, free schooling, and then you get to march in the streets of America waving your flag complaining you don't get enough respect from the American citizens.
That's right.
And then what was the outcome of Mr. Vento's true patriotism? Well, one fan drew an illustration of Geno's Steaks and with people lined up the rafters. Now, when I went there last Saturday, people were literally in the street waiting for one of the delicious sandwiches. And also, right by the entrance where you order your food, he has a wall of heroes, a listing of every fireman and policeman, along with a police canine that died in the line of duty. So, I mean, Mr. Vento is a true patriot, and I was proud to patronize the store. I have nothing against his competition down the street. I'm sure he makes a fine sandwich, but, you know, I can tell you firsthand that Mr. Vento is a true patriot.
Well, let me tell you something, Scoop. As you well know, being a correspondent for this show for so many years, of the two people that are making Philly cheesesteaks on that corner, only Geno has been a guest on the Political Cesspool radio program, and indeed he was back when all that was a big a big issue back, I guess that was 05-06. Gino was on the show, Gino Vento, to talk about...
My only beef with Mr. Vento is that he has pictures of himself with celebrities. One of the celebrities on the wall was Glenn Beck.
Okay, yeah, we got a problem with him on that, but, you know, every dog has his day. He had a picture with Glenn Beck up, but, you know.
Beck, Glenn Beck wanted to go meet Joey. Joey didn't want to meet Glenn. I'm sure, like, hey, you know, the king of cheesesteaks in Philly. I mean,
did you meet Gino?
Just a radio schmuck.
Did you meet Gino?
No, unfortunately, it was a Saturday, so he was probably off. I'm sure next time I come in, I'll make arrangements with his people. And also, when you go there in order, everybody speaks English. And I can honestly say Mr. Vento does not support diversity.
Well, there you go. Hey, if you're in Philadelphia, political cesspool fans, eat at Gino's Steaks. And if you do a Google search, you'll learn all about the trouble he was in a couple of years ago. Hey, Pete, we love you, buddy. Thanks for calling in tonight. Next week, I promise, as much time as you need, as much time as you want. We're very lucky to have Peter Scoop Stanton as a political cesspool correspondent. We're out of time tonight. For Eddie, Bill, Winston, Keith, I'm James Edwards. We'll see you next week, everybody. God bless you.